Breaking news, controversial video surfaces from the Georgia election night. What happens next? We'll talk about it today on Jay Sekulow Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
You might have seen the video yesterday, but if not, we'll certainly play some of it for you while we were on the air today. If you're watching the broadcast, we'll continue talking, because really what you're seeing is a video we all knew was out there. This was something way back weeks ago, and we were just kind of waiting to see who was going to release it. Ultimately, the state, I think, had to release it because it involved official cameras at an official voting site. It's a State Farm Arena, but it was official voting site for purposes of the election in November. And what you'll see in the video is, remember, north in Fulton County, they shut down voting around, I think it was around 9 o'clock, 9:30 or so, and they tell everybody to go home. Well, four people stay, and the video shows those four people start going through with ballots. And by the way, you're not supposed to count ballots when there's no poll watchers, when there's no one there, when there's no one there verifying the votes are done correctly, that you're doing the process right. They were also pulling these ballots out of boxes from a specifically placed table that you could see earlier in the morning video. I think it was like, you know, at 8 in the morning, they bring in this table with a black tablecloth over it, and then there's boxes put under it, or kind of like suitcases, as some have described it. That's where they start pulling these ballots from. These machines can do about 3,000 ballots an hour. They were operating on multiple machines. Oh, yeah. So, I mean, we're talking about enough again, probably in just these ballots.
Just Fulton County at the one county.
To change the outcome of the Georgia Electoral College.
So here's the other part of this that's, I think, really important for our audience to understand, and that is, when you look at what they said, and that was to require that the poll watchers leave because of a leak, we now found out through freedom of information issues that there was not this massive main water break, which what they were saying was the Fulton County problem. That did not exist. So what happened instead is they tell Andy, the poll watchers, just leave. And then as soon as they leave, of course, there's video there. They weren't that smart. You see what's going on. We'll play that video in the next segment, and there's audio over it, so it's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. Instead of following the rules that you have to have poll watchers and people looking at the counting of the ballots, they simply say there's a water main leak. Well, there wasn't a water main leak. I understand it was a leaky toilet, which is not something unusual in Fulton County, by the way. And so then they have everybody leave, and then in an empty arena, they start pulling boxes from out under tables and start counting votes. God knows what was in those votes or in those ballots or who they were really for. I mean, it's a vehicle for fraud. I don't use that word lightly, because fraud is something that a lawyer should be very careful before he starts using that word, because it means particularity in exactly the act that were committed, and you have to plead that fraud with great particularity. But it seems to me that when you tell an entire group of people, go home, we're not counting, and then you start yanking boxes out from under tables and opening suitcases and pulling ballots out, that it pretty much smells like what it really ultimately comes out to be.
Was there a gap in the timeline? I'm not familiar with this, Jordan. Was there a gap in the timeline where they say go out, you know, and leave, and then they start counting? Because it looks like, from what you're seeing, it kind of looks like it just instantaneous.
I mean, I think that the gap was they just made sure all those people had cleared out, and there were four people that stayed back. So the poll watchers were cleared out, some of the other poll staff. Remember, you've got state officials in there, you've got bipartisan officials in there, you've got Republican officials in there, and Democrat officials in there, all told to leave. And yet then the ballot counting continues from these ballots that were stored underneath the table. Right away, I just want to tell people this, a crime was committed in this video. You cannot count ballots in Georgia without any election observers, either from the Secretary of State's office, from the county, the registrar's office, all of them. You're supposed to have nonpartisan at least observers there, and you certainly can't send them home and then start the counting again without letting them know you're starting the counting again. So a crime was definitely committed, 100%. Georgia law was violated, and now the Georgia governor is saying we need to verify all the signatures and do an audit.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. I was talking over the first time we played it. I want you to hear the description, because if you're listening on radio, you can still hear the description of what this video is showing by someone who was there. And so understand this. This was a presentation done before some of the Georgia members of the legislative body there. It will be included in a new lawsuit that will be filed in Georgia as well.
Like any moment.
At any moment. And I've talked about that on Newsmax even at 7 a.m. this morning. But take a listen. Listen to their narrative of it just so you understand what we're talking about if you're just listening to the broadcast.
8 o'clock in the morning, we're going to roll this back and show it to you. There you go. So now they're going to start pulling these ballots out from under this table. This table, the black one, was placed there by the lady with the blonde braids at about 8:22 a.m. in the morning. So she put that table there. So the same person who's staying behind now, the same person who cleared the place out under the pretense that we're going to stop counting, is the person who put the table there at 8:22 in the morning. Yeah, I saw four suitcases come out from underneath the table. Yeah, upper right hand, you see the gentleman in the red. So he just pulled one out.
And these are large suitcases of ballots, too. These are okay. You could have thousands of ballots in one of those.
Can I ask a question?
And they did it for about 3 hours, and then they told everybody, oh, yeah, we're going to start counting again.
Can I ask a question? Where's the Georgia Bureau of Investigation? Where's the FBI on this? Maybe they are. So, you know, we wouldn't necessarily know. Why hasn't this woman, the woman with the blonde braid, been interviewed under oath? Did you put ballots
because
in there before?
Because there's been a whole failure in the Georgia. And listen, this is why we were fair broadcast. The Republican leadership in Georgia has been a laughingstock of the country. I mean, talking about just a disaster. And now you got Brian Kemp, the Georgia governor, who suddenly now he's shifted. Because what you know, we all knew, including the governor Kemp, that this video existed. Everybody knew about this staff for how long do we know? 2 weeks?
Yes.
2.5 weeks? So we knew it was going to come out. We knew it would come out probably at a legislative session because it was an official video, so it had to come out through an official body, a request by a state legislator to make it public. But now listen to Brian Kemp. He wants something that should have been done 3 weeks ago. Take a listen.
You know, I called early on for a signature audit. Obviously, the Secretary of State, per the laws and the Constitution, would have to order that. He has not done that. I think it should be done. I think, especially with what we saw today, it raises more questions. There needs to be transparency on that. I would again call for that, and I think in the next 24 hours, hopefully we'll see a lot more from the hearings that the legislature had today, and we'll be able to look and see what the next steps are.
I mean, you got very little time, Governor Kemp, and you hope your Secretary of State does this? How about you demand it? I mean, I know it's a separate office. I know it's a separate elected office, but put the kind of political pressure that would end his political career if he doesn't do it. Say, you know what, if he doesn't do it, this guy's no good. He's no, you know, and he came out, and finally the Georgia Secretary says that, well, maybe there is fraud because his son who passed away 2 years ago came out with a sob story, which I don't accept in this situation. Just got three pieces of mail to register to vote from the Warnock campaign machine, which was run by Stacey Abrams. So now he thinks there might have been fraud. Well, it would have been good if he checked that out in the general election where he mocked all of us and said, stop protesting me.
Yeah.
Stop sending me nasty messages. You deserved every one of those messages.
Look, this goes-
because you didn't believe it until it came into your mailbox. I mean, this is unacceptable from leaders, statewide elected leaders. Georgia leaders need to wake up now or else they are giving away their state and they'll be the ones that are defeated next by the next 100%.
Democrats. But then let's go to Nevada just for a moment. I know this is a Georgia segment, but let's go to Nevada. You throw out about 150,000 ballots because you say there's fraud for a county election. But as it relates to the president of the United States, you're going to just let those ballots count.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. Now, they were in court yesterday in Nevada.
Yeah, that's right. They're in court in Nevada. We're supposed to get the opinion from the judge today because he wanted to give both parties time to appeal to their Supreme Court. It was about a 2-hour and 45-minute hearing about contesting the entire election. It went through just all of the different issues that Nevada faced, not just one, but it was specifically to 8,000 absentee ballots that had fake addresses, 20,000 votes cast by non-residents, and at least 1,500 dead people that were voting, and 42,000 double votes. Add that together, guess who wins Nevada? Donald Trump. And in the situation in Arizona, there a judge is going back. They've now ordered them to look at 2,500 of those corrected ballots because when they did a test of 100, 2 out of 100 were wrong, and there's thousands of them. So, I mean, you start
getting... Did they get a result from the 2,500 test?
They said it'd take a couple days. So, so I think it'll probably be on Monday we'll get that number because these are, again, Western states that come out later in the day, just like in Nevada. The judge's opinion could come out evening time on the East Coast. It could still be afternoon there. But he does want... But, again, these are challenges that are legitimate, that are before the courts. You could see the you could have seen the hearing yesterday in Nevada. In the situation in Wisconsin... In Wisconsin, you've got two lawsuits, one filed by the president in federal court, a second lawsuit in state court. Now, the state Supreme Court said it's got to start out at the lower courts. Okay. The media tried to play that as like a loss. It's not a loss. It's just that's procedural. In fact, they filed it that way to try to just help the courts, actually, so they don't have to wait and just get along with it because of the timing situation. There, you add up the number of wrongdoing, like 170,000 absentee ballots that came in that weren't requested. So people never made a request, and under state law in Wisconsin, you have to request an absentee ballot. Is it fraud, or is it just an illegal, voided-out vote? It doesn't matter. Either way, the vote shouldn't count because it violates state law. So 170,000 in Wisconsin would be thrown out. Guess who wins Wisconsin if that happens easily? Donald Trump.
Well, this is what people need to understand is it takes time to get this.
Everybody's being mocked. Remember.
Yeah, everybody's being mocked and the media's mocking. And meanwhile, now you've got these reports coming out. Now, as I said, I'm going to go back to Than Bennett on this because he talked about this during our break, but he didn't talk to it on a radio broadcast. Than, I've noticed in the last 24 hours, specifically the last 24 hours, that members of Congress are now really speaking out on this issue finally.
Yeah, so have I, Jay. I mean, they were looking for evidence. This is hard evidence that you can see in video format of a situation that, Jay, I think to call it an irregularity is being extremely kind. I think Jordan is probably correct that this was nothing short of a crime. But again, I think, though we had this conversation during the break, I think it's important for our listeners to hear it. If you go back to our election night coverage, all three of us said there is no reason and no justification for stopping the counting of votes in multiple states. We saw it in in other states than the ones we're talking about today. In fact, the first one where it happened, I believe, was Virginia. And we said at the time, there is no justification for stopping the counting because both campaigns, Jay, have observers in the room on election night. They have prepared for that. And by stopping the vote and resuming it later, you have opened the door for fraud and irregularities. We said it at the time. And this was a situation, Jay, we, of course, didn't know about this video that we see today, but we said this is where problems come in. And in Georgia, I think it's conclusively clear. A problem came in, and I will tell you, on the federal level, today you have started to see federal officials, members of Congress, members of the United States Senate say there has to be an explanation for this. And Jay, I think at a bare minimum in the state of Georgia, two things have to happen. A signature audit and an investigation into what happened inside that room during those few hours.
Yeah, but it's got to happen today. I mean, this is not something where you have, I was telling this to our legal team today, we don't have 5 weeks here. We don't have 5 days here. So the Georgia case needs to be filed today. That'll be the third case in Georgia. Wisconsin's filed, Nevada's filed, Arizona's filed. The Georgia ones, like you said, there's a couple there now. There's going to be a big one by the campaign later today. Those are important. Now, then you're looking at what happens possibly at the Supreme Court. Does Mike Kelly's case in Pennsylvania end up at the Supreme Court? Is there another way to get these issues in front of the Supreme Court that would be constitutionally appropriate? So here's what you've got. Time is not on our side here. So fighting is, as I told the lawyers this morning, this is all wonderful discussion. We're not writing a law review article. So let me see what a pleading actually looks like. And Andy's holding, you put it up, Andy. Andy's got, put them all up. I mean, there's a stack of, get the camera on Andy for our TV audience. This is just last night's, okay? That's just the beginning. That's last night's. So more coming in, and I'm going to tell you, folks, you got to, if you believe in the integrity of the Constitution, which we certainly do here at the ACLJ and the electoral process, you have to be engaged in this. I want to encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ too, especially right now.
Yeah, folks, ACLJ.org. We have a matching challenge month of December. It's the final month of the year, but this is a very busy month. You know, this can be that kind of month where you think, okay, you go Thanksgiving and holidays, and then you get to Christmas and then New Year's, but this is not that kind of year. Okay, this is the kind of year where the battles have been ongoing, and they will keep going. Regardless of how the outcome of this presidential election, what about the outcome of the Georgia Senate races, too? And what we're going to be up against in Washington, D.C. We have to prepare for every possible scenario at the ACLJ to defend your rights. If you can support the work of the ACLJ financially, this is a great month to do it as well, because you double the impact of your donation with our matching challenge. Donate online at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. It's how we bring you this broadcast every day. It's how we bring all the attorneys that are able to represent people at no cost. Our government affairs team in Washington, D.C., the work we do around the world, all because of your financial support. Donate today. Double your impact. ACLJ.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Jay Sekulow Live. So we are talking about what's happening in Georgia. And of course, we're waiting a Nevada judge's order. Now, that's not dispositive because he actually said that he wants to give time for each party to be able to appeal it to the Nevada Supreme Court.
But
it was a two-hour and 45-minute hearing.
Yeah.
So people who thought, oh, there's no substance here. These are all going to get tossed out. They're not even going to have hearings on it. This was a judge in Nevada with a two-hour and 45-minute hearing. In Carson City, they were talking about what happened in Clark County and the difference between Carson City and Clark County, and how the decision in Clark County wasn't dispositive there because of it was done on a different standing precedent. So a lot of this was figuring out the best ways to get into court to bring these actions, and now I think it'll be interesting to see if the mainstream media, at what point they start getting nervous. I don't think they're not going to get nervous yet with the lower court judges, but I think they start getting nervous when they see the Georgia video. They start getting nervous with, depending on what happens out of Nevada, depending on what happens out of Wisconsin when you're talking about 200,000 illegal votes. And I say that because the Wisconsin law says you have to request an absentee ballot. And if there's no record of the request, those 170,000 absentee ballots, which we know,
yep,
Biden was getting way more votes from mail-in and absentee than Trump. If they are thrown out, Trump wins Wisconsin. And we know that it's illegal there. I mean, I don't know how a court comes up with some reasoning. Of course, they always can, and they often try, to say that it wasn't illegal to count those ballots, since there is no record that they were requested. And under the law in Wisconsin, you must have a record of the absentee ballot being requested.
Okay, so let's talk about Georgia, since it seems to be so pivotal right now. Andy, you've reviewed the draft, and again, it's not the final draft, we're waiting for that now,
right,
of the Georgia complaint.
Right.
Explain to everyone what is going on there. What are the allegations?
Okay, the allegations here are basically that there have been violations of the law with respect to absentee ballots and the request.
This is a challenge to the let's be clear what the challenge is here. This is
an election contest.
This is a contest of the election.
This is a contestant that challenges the election in Georgia. In other words, this is the thing that says, the suit that says, judge, this election was illegally conducted and you should throw it out. I have not seen the prayers for relief yet, the final prayers for relief. But things that improperly happened in this contested election case are alleged. For example, you cannot use a post office box as a residential address, it alleges. People did that. You cannot reside within a post office box. We know that. That's one of the allegations. It is a violation of Georgia law to list a P.O. box as your voter residence. That's what happened. That's why you need to look at each one of these absentee ballots. Right now, at home, the other day when I was in Atlanta, I received 2 absentee ballot requests at my house.
Did you request them?
No, I never voted absentee in my life. I don't vote absentee. Oh, I vote in person.
Oh, similar caller.
And even that worries me.
Andy, Larry in Georgia on line 5. Hey, okay. Larry, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yes, my wife and I also, between the two of us, we have received a dozen or more absentee ballots, which we have never requested. We never vote absentee. We always vote in person only. But the other disturbing thing that we received in the mail a day ago was a card from an organization I've never heard of. It says the New Georgia Project. Part of it is handwritten, and it says it looks like you're not registered to vote, and tells us how we can register to vote. And then it says you've got the power, Mary, a volunteer. I've never heard of this. Don't know anything about
it. Well,
listen,
their get-out-the-vote effort in Georgia is aggressive, and I hope the Republicans are doing the same thing because their get-out-the-vote is aggressive. But it's the receiving of absentee ballots. What did you get exactly, Andy? It seems very similar.
It was a request for an absentee ballot. It said, here, fill this form out and send it into your to a pre-printed envelope and address and everything, and you'll get an absentee ballot.
So I have voted absentee in Georgia before because I've been, and you have too, because I was, when you were in school, when I was up in Virginia a lot, I was still a resident of Georgia. And I requested an absentee ballot. It's a process.
It is.
I didn't have anybody send a letter to me or say, here's your absentee ballot forms. Go ahead and request.
Never.
What did it, what you got, what did it look like?
It looked like an official correspondence. It had an eagle, a spread eagle on it, you know, and it was printed in government looking stationery. I mean, it looked like something official from the Registrar of Voters. But of course, being a lawyer and being a prosecutor, I looked at it very carefully, and I said, this is a fraud that is being perpetrated on the public, and it must be Stacey Abrams because no one else would do it but Stacey Abrams. And this is an attempt to get in an absentee ballot so that they can then repeat in the senatorial runoff on January 5th what happened in the presidential election on November 3rd. In other words, try to get in a ballot that ought not to be there that's there. To the caller who called, Larry from Georgia, you're off the thing, but go to your county election supervisor and make, go. I don't know what county you live in, but go to your county election registrar and make sure you're registered to vote and that no shenanigans are being pulled.
On Facebook, and if you're watching on YouTube, we encourage you to share this with your friends. If you're watching on Twitter or any other social media platforms, let you know we're giving you analysis because we're actually seeing the documents as they're getting ready. It gives you a little unique perspective here at the ACLJ. But the idea that we're going to just roll over and say, oh, it's done because MSNBC says so, is not the way it works. I don't want to build a false hope, okay? I don't build false hopes. I litigate until I'm out of ammunition. That's how you do this. Because you don't know in the process, and Andy and I have tried a lot of cases, you don't know in the process when something's going to just come out of nowhere. The witness says something. You find a piece of evidence. Or you see a video. Now, all of that combined creates all kind of issues. Now, this is multi-jurisdictional, so it's complicated. I know it's complicated. It's Wisconsin. It's Nevada. It's Arizona. It's Georgia. It's Pennsylvania. But you know what? You got to be able to handle multitask in these situations. And then you've got already action at the Supreme Court and maybe more. So we'll see where this all shakes out. But I'm telling you, the courts are not just willy-nilly throwing these things out. Yeah, the Third Circuit did on the second amended complaint in the case that our friend Rudy Giuliani was basically took over. And in that case, the Third Circuit decision is difficult. But Mike Kelly, the congressman, fan, had a very strong case where justices said, hey, if we had more time, these darn frivolous complaints.
Absolutely, Jay. And it just illustrates you need more than one state, but it happens one state at a time. And Mike Kelly had information in the state of Pennsylvania that he was pursuing. Now the information's coming forward in the state of Georgia. Jay, in a system where states run elections, you have to have vigilant state officials to make sure that this kind of fraud is exposed and then remedied. And then, yes, to change the outcome, you're, of course, going to need a combination of various states where it happens. But again, Jay, one state at a time. And I'll tell you right now, in the state of Georgia, that one sure looks perilous to me.
Yeah, I want to find out the date that Bush versus Gore was decided. I can't remember. No, it was December. I want to know the date on that because that kind of tells you how these things run and how these things go. But, folks, we're in a matching challenge campaign. A lot of other work going on at the ACLJ, too. Jordan's going to tell you about support the work of the ACLJ.
Well, you know, we are winning now these cases at the Supreme Court where the state governors who have tried to shut down in-person worship, one in New York, one in California out of the Supreme Court. We're representing churches in Illinois. And if you've got a church in one of those states where you've got a governor that does that wants to challenge it, Supreme Court is saying, bring the challenges to us and we will strike down your governor's order because they cannot override the First Amendment protection to the free exercise of religious freedom. And by the way, the change in the Supreme Court was because of Justice Barrett. So her confirmation, very important when it comes to just this issue of religious liberty. So we've got all that information up at ACLJ.org. Support our work. Double your impact. ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
So we have a lot of calls to take. The president is going to be in Georgia this weekend, the vice president. I want to go to Than Bennett on that, too, because I do not want to forget that. The Senate race there is so important. You've had these morons who have said, if these people don't do more to help the president, which, by the way, U.S. senators don't file in federal court. That's what lawyers do for the campaign, for the president, again, it's not the U.S. senators who, by the way, are trying to survive and keep the Senate in Republican control, yet you've got these nuts who are just signed on to get involved in Republican politics, or even they're not even Republicans, they just support Donald Trump, and they come up with this idea that, how can you trust the system? This is like a ref makes a bad call. Do you see the football team walk off the field? No, they might complain a bit. They might scream a little. And they might, in our situation, if you file in court, you go about it that way. The game doesn't have to stop, though. You don't say, I'm not going to try to fight to win here. And Than, that is a concern. But the message, I think, over this last few days has now gotten to the voters in Georgia very clearly, except for this. We now see a strategy from the left trying to promote this message to get conservatives to share it on social media as well. So they took this message, and they're now trying to kind of share it as well.
Yeah, the left and then some copycats down in Georgia are trying to get people to write in President Trump's name or not vote for David Perdue or Kelly Loeffler. That will result in two Democrats being elected to the United States Senate in the state of Georgia. And then potentially it would be a leader Schumer if Vice President Biden were to prevail in the end. But listen, Jordan, here's where the truth comes out. President Trump is going down there. And you know what his message is going to be? Vote for David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler. So anyone who goes out and says that the best thing that you can do for Donald Trump is to vote against David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler, I encourage that person to listen to the words of Donald Trump when he tells you what is best for him. He's going to go down to the state of Georgia and he's going to say, no matter how all these cases turn out, my lawyers are handling that, and of course the senators are running for re-election. No matter how it turns out, what I need you to do for me is to vote for David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler. Jordan, I would tell you this, only let one person speak for Donald Trump, and that person is Donald Trump.
I agree. Listen, I 100% agree. And I want to give you some dates to tell you where we are. Today, in Supreme Court history, the decision in Bush versus Gore was December 12th. Our case was argued December 11th. They decided the case that day and then wrote the opinion overnight. I remembered I was there. Now, having said that and worked on it, so we still have some time, but not a lot of time. So things have to line up. I want people to understand something. We are doing everything possible to protect the integrity of the election process. I'm looking at you in the camera and listening to, if you're listening on radio, listen to me, please. We are doing everything we can to ensure the integrity of the legal process. We do not control the ultimate outcome of these cases. And a lot of cases would have to line up for things to go in the president's favor. But I think you're seeing today an understanding, and you would know if you were in my house this morning because I was on the phone from early this morning dealing with this and to late last night. No stones being unturned. Andy is reviewing literally an inch and a half of documents, and there will be more today. So we are getting through this the best we can. But people need to understand, Jordan, that this is a Herculean task. It's going to take a miracle in many ways. But you got to run the game here. You got to play the game. Like you said, you don't exit the field.
Yeah, that's right.
But we don't control the outcome.
No, we do not control the outcome, but you must fight. And you do not give up the fight. We're not giving up the legal fight. Georgia voters have got to return to the polls. It's up to you, Georgia, and the voters of Georgia. Do you want Chuck Schumer to be the majority leader, or and him to change America, as he said? Or do you want to have a check on what may be a Biden administration? Dealing, you know, realistic. We're fighting the legal battles, but be ready. I mean, and even if it wasn't a Biden administration, do you really want the Senate to be in Chuck Schumer's hands either? There would be no Amy Barrett on the Supreme Court. Tell you right. There would be no Kavanaugh's. There would be no Gorsuch's.
There would be no religious liberty decision from two days ago and from last week.
All right, we'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Phone calls, and I'm going to go in order. People have been holding on the line. Let's go to Jerry in Rhode Island. Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live, folks. Hey, Jerry, you're on the air.
Hello, team. As a poll worker, all election day from 6 a.m. to 9, I don't know how that video thing happened, because we had to have our lanyards. We had to sign in. They got to know who these four women are. Hopefully,
exactly.
They have an interview. So I'm befuddled.
I am too.
When is Barr going to be? If you guys saw this video 2 weeks ago, how come Mr. Barr?
Well, we didn't see the video 2 weeks ago. Okay, we saw the video when it was published yesterday. That's when I saw it.
Yep,
I did not see it 2 weeks ago.
Is this?
We just heard about it.
We heard about it.
Is this enough for Mr. Barr to say? I think there is enough investigation, ammunition, evidence.
I mean, the problem is the video by itself. This looks like ballots are being, you know, additional ballots are being put up, and they've been put up before. The problem is, we know in the context that
the video, we see the people being sent away.
We know, Harry, that everybody was being sent away.
Absolutely, but the video, I think, also shows that these ballots were accumulated before the vote count
right.
started. That gives rise to a very strong inference that we have sufficient hard evidence of fraud. I think most Americans would believe that misconduct did, in fact, occur. And I think a judge with a sufficient amount of gumption, or state officials with sufficient amount of gumption, they should act immediately to A, investigate, but B, invalidate the certification that they've issued previously until this is cleared up.
Well, remember, the electors are not selected until the 8th, and they don't vote until the 14th. So that's why these things it has a ways to go yet. But Andy, I'm looking at, because Jerry did raise a good question. You look at the when you see a video, you say, okay, what is the corroborating evidence around that video? What is the story around that video? Well, the easiest one to ask is the people that were there.
Right.
So why aren't they?
Well, that's what I want to know. I mean, where is the Federal Bureau of Investigation now? Now, I know they just came. It just surfaced. Give them an opportunity to do it.
They may be, but, for all we know.
And they may
know.
Be. Or the GBI, Vic Reynolds, who is former DA in Cobb County, good friend of mine, head of the GBI. You ought to be looking at this. But I say to Brad Raffensperger, you Secretary of State in Georgia, grow a spine. Finally show some guts. Brian Kemp, grow a spine. Finally show some guts. Don't certify any electors until we run to ground exactly what happened that night in Fulton County when everyone was sent home because of a busted water pipe. A lie. And now you're pulling ballots out from under tables. Don't certify this election until we know what happened in our state.
So here's what, this is a YouTube comment. They all had these ballots ready to go, and that's what it looks like, but they were missing a bunch of flash drives. Remember those from a couple weeks ago?
Yep.
Doesn't pass the smell test. It doesn't pass the smell test.
No, that's
but
right.
But somebody, I mean, we've got law. Now, look, there will be a new lawsuit filed in Georgia today that will be substantive also, and getting to this. But this shows you the nature of these problems.
Yes, I mean, these problems existed in Fulton County, and they existed throughout the state when it came to the flash drive votes. You remember, we found 3,000 here. And now, we realize that in the recount, which to me is also extremely upsetting, that in the recount, they didn't do signature verification. And now they'd have to go back, do another full state recount to verify signatures because they didn't do that the first time because the Secretary of State failed Georgia. Does he have a chance to rectify? A very small opportunity here, very slim window to rectify the wrongs he has done through his Office of Secretary of State, again, because he is, he's depressing Republican voters there because of him. He didn't care about fraud until it affected his family, and he didn't believe in it until it came to his mailbox. This is ridiculous. You expect more from statewide elected leaders. But I worked in Georgia politics a long time, and some of these I can know. Some have kind of been multi-run, let's say, and they've run their whole life to try and get this job. Brian Kemp won it by about 300 votes, barely, and I think that's why he remained so silent most of this time until finally he had to come out and say something. These are wishy-washy Republicans.
Yeah, but I got to say this. I'm going to go back to Than on this because, Than, here's the thing I'm really concerned about, and that it's to be clear here, and that is this idea. That some lawyers in Georgia have been saying for the last couple of days of don't go out and vote is a shrug of your constitutional responsibility, number one. Number two, David Perdue beat John Ossoff. They're in a runoff because he didn't beat him by enough. Of course, we don't know what the fraud calculation would be on that. And this idea that, well, we're just so angry because the Georgia officials didn't do what they were supposed to do, we're just going to surrender the Senate. No matter what side, or obtain the Senate, no matter what side you're on, this is absurd.
Jay, it's pretty clear there were a lot of problems in the last time Georgia did this election, but you're right. The results, Senator Perdue beat John Ossoff by almost 2%. He beat him by 1.8%, and then there were a lot of candidates in the other race because it was a special election. But if you add up all the Republican vote and then all the Democrat vote, the Republicans won that one by 0.9% as well, 1%. So even with all of the problems, Jay, Senator Perdue and Senator Loeffler would have won the last time around. So I'll tell you this, anyone that goes out there and says that those two should be voted against, Jay, there's no other way to put this than that those are votes for John Ossoff, for Raphael Warnock, and get this, for Majority Leader Chuck Schumer. That's what that vote would signify. There's no other way to describe that.
Let's go to Mary Ellen in Illinois on line three. Hey, Mary Ellen, welcome to JSecu Live.
Hi, you're on the air. Hi, Mary Ellen.
Hello, everyone. Yes. Given the fact that time is not on our side, and we also know that judges are not running to make decisions on elections. What would it take to move this whole process into the House of Representatives?
Yeah, Than can go through that process, but it there's a lot of hoops that would have to happen. You don't get to 270. I mean, that's not a likely scenario, not impossible, not likely. Go ahead, Than.
Well, you basically have to have enough states have their elections invalidated or the results switched to bring Vice President Biden beneath that 270 level. If neither candidate got to 270, that's when the election would go to the House of Representatives. So, you know, Georgia being moved from the equation, Jay, that in and of itself is not enough. But again, I mean, it's important to reiterate this. You're not going to get one fell swoop where it's going to be enough. All of these are state by state. So every single state, Jay, has to ensure the integrity of their election. And if there were to be an outcome where it would be beneath 270 and go to the House, that would happen one at a time. So again, I'm not saying it would happen, but it would be a one at a time equation, not just one fell swoop.
All right. Well, that answers that question. Jordan, let's try to grab another call. I know we usually do that last thing, but we got a lot of people calling in.
Absolutely. Let's try to grab David in Georgia as well on line at six. David, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you, my brothers. I'm a Cobb County resident, and I'm on the list to be trained to be an observer for the January the 5th runoff.
Yep.
Given the shenanigans, the scenario that I've been turning over in my head since the November 3rd election is the amount of fraud that took place that also denied Senator Perdue an outright victory. Surely to goodness, there must be a way I rephrase that. All the down ballot races, I think, were negatively affected in this state and in as well as the other five or six other states where shenanigans took place. If Mr. Trump prevails, and I pray every day that he does, what is the scenario that has to take place, or what is the likelihood that we could also find out
that you don't have to have a runoff? Well, it'd have to be you'd have to have a statewide recount that would show that. And remember, the statewide recount did not include the Senate races, so it did not happen. It was just on the presidential side. But you're calling from Georgia. I want to play something because this shows you how important this is and some of the nonsense that's going on down in Georgia by lawyers trying to maybe do the right thing, but the statements they're saying about don't vote for this candidate, don't vote for this one, don't participate, it's all a fraud. Listen to what Chuck Schumer said. Take a listen.
Now we take Georgia, and then we change the world.
Yeah! I'm sorry, can you repeat that, Mr. Schumer?
Now we take Georgia, and then we change America.
So it's the world in America. That's all that's at stake here, Harry.
Absolutely. And the global elitists are gloating. They are salivating at the prospect of taking full and unchallenged control of virtually every precinct in America, issuing authoritarian edicts, raising taxes on middle-class individuals, compelling citizens to do things that are against their constitutional and freedom of exercise principles. So much is at stake. All Americans, but particularly Americans in Georgia, need to go out and vote, and they need to vote as if the future of the country is at stake.
There you go.
Folks, we got another segment coming up. We'll continue to take your phone calls, get the information to you as well. Again, if you talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. There's a lot happening now, a lot of moving parts when it comes to these legal challenges, and of course, the gear up towards the January 5th election for who will control the Senate in Georgia. So important. Support the work of the ACLJ as we are involved in all of this when it involves election integrity. Today, you can be part of the matching challenge in December. Double the impact of your donation by donating online at aclj.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
All right, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. In the final segment, we want to get through these phone calls. People have been holding on. Let's start in order. Michelle in California on line five. Michelle, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Oh, hey, thank you. Okay, I actually have three really quick questions. Okay, so why is this video only now being shown, and who would be held accountable for it being hidden, basically? And then I'm wondering.
Let me answer that one first, because Annie can answer that one. There was a process you had to go through to get it. It was in state control.
Yeah, you couldn't just ask for it. You know, we didn't know that it existed until we were able to make a demand, or someone was able to make a demand to get it out. We didn't do it, but at least, thank God, it surfaced. So, you know, don't question whether or not. I'm sorry it came out late in the process.
But there's a process you have to go through to get it.
Yeah, but it's good that it came out.
Because that was a government counting center for that period of time. It wasn't like just the State Farm Arena video. So they had those cameras set up specifically by the state. And so you had to go through that. So I think it was state legislators
I think that's right. Okay, next question, Michelle, quick.
Okay, so what happens if Biden is deemed the winner?
Yep.
And then we find the more total fraud? Because you know we're going to keep looking. What happens?
Once the president is sworn into office, he can only be removed by impeachment. That's it. I mean, that's just the and look, that's what the Constitution says. And that makes sense. It does make sense. It would mean that the lawyers could not get the information quick enough to dispel it. And there's not votes. You know, there's not an impeachment. You'd have to get through the House of Representatives to start with an impeachment, and then you'd have to get 2/3 of the Senate. It's not a likely scenario. So that's just the way the process works. I'm glad you called. Those are good questions. But that's not going to be the answer here. The answer is to try to win this before December 14th. Because once December 14th comes, I don't see it.
I think that, listen, this is the time period is very short here. I mean, we are up against a window
where it's the 4th. We got 10 days.
Yeah, I mean, you got to get them into court. They've got to be disposed of by the end of December.
So I was going to ask Than this. So Than, what is kind of the tenor of the Senate on investigating, or what is it right now? They're just seeing how it plays out.
Well, I think there's two things, Jay. I mean, one is the time frame that you just laid out. I think they agreed that December 14th is the deadline for the legal team to make the case and have an outcome that could possibly be overturned. So in that time frame, it's very short. But I would argue this very strenuously, Jay. I think the time frame for looking at this kind of fraud and these kind of irregularities, I think that has to be a sustained effort, because I think by now the demonstration has been made that there are shenanigans happening, that there are things that are happening on the state level that are wrong. Jay, I mean, the time for aggressiveness for maybe an outcome change is right now, but this kind of thing can't happen going forward. And people like the Secretary of State in Georgia, this needs to be a sustained effort for them for sure.
Yeah, I think that's right. Now, you know, I question, well, let's take another call.
Yeah, let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Renee in Florida online too. Hey, Renee.
Hi, Renee calling to say thank you. Thank you so much for fighting so hard for truth and justice. I made a donation to your matching challenge and happy to do so. The other thing, my question is, I worked in a school district and I saw year after year the elections for the school board. And there were rigorous protocols and procedures that the school district had to follow,
yep.
as well as there's retention periods.
So then you're wondering, why is this now, how are we having this on a presidential level? And that's because elections are controlled locally, and there were not safeguards in place, and the reaction to the pandemic, including Harry and Republican states, basically made it a free-for-all.
Absolutely.
I mean, I hate to say it that way, but that's kind of what happened.
Absolutely. The caller makes a very, very good point. Voter integrity, election security, and election integrity are very important issues. Ultimately, they are up to the legislative branch, and if they don't clean up these messes in states like Georgia and Nevada and Arizona, then it's up to the citizens to take action to remove the legislature. These problems were indeed foreseeable, but in some cases, I think the legislative branch failed the American people.
All right, let's go back to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Tim in Tennessee on line one. Hey, Tim, welcome to JSecu Live.
Yeah, hi, guys. We'll be real quick here. What is there a precedence in place, either in the state or our Constitution, that would say they have to do an actual re-vote, not a recount, have everyone come back in and re-vote in a state?
So that is not usually that is not what is prescribed in the Constitution and under the laws, federal laws, or the state laws. It's not a re-vote. It's something that people sometimes have a hard time dealing with, but it goes to the legislature, and the legislature would then pick the electors. So there's not a re-vote. Now, you choose your legislators, so in a sense, I mean, they are representatives of the people, obviously. And in these states in question, interestingly enough, Republicans control the state legislatures. And what is interesting about that is that these are swing states. And so if a court was to say the election has to be invalidated, they can't tell the state legislature what electors they have to choose. But that would be the only the legislature would have to act. So they could act and decide they want to choose all Trump, all Biden. They want to abide by the results, even if the court thought the results were phony. I mean, it then goes to them. And that's the process, not a revote.
We don't have the prayer for relief yet in the Georgia case. We'll get that when we see the full complaint.
Right. But I have a feeling the final is a decertification.
Yes, because is the challenge again, Andy, for people just joining?
It's an election contest. It's a challenge as to the validity of the election based on the numerous irregularities that occurred with respect to absentee ballots, mail-in ballots, people registering, people not registering, and so forth. So it's a very comprehensive document, but it still has places that need to be filled, including what is the prayer for relief, which I guess would be to decertify the election.
Yeah, that's what I would think, too.
All right, final call of the day, Kim in Washington State, on line six. We don't forget the West Coast. Hey, Kim, welcome to JSecu Live.
Thank you so much for taking my call. My question for you is, these Western states, California, Oregon, Washington, I know that Arizona has some investigation going on and all, but why, I don't hear anything. Yeah, Nevada too, right. And I don't hear anything from our states. And at 58% on election night, our Governor Inslee, I don't even like saying his name, he claimed victory.
58% well, listen, of the you're blue states. So, I mean, it's very tough for Republicans to win in California, Oregon, and Washington state. It occasionally does happen. More moderate Republicans, occasionally they win in California statewide. Occasionally they win in Washington state and Oregon statewide. But it is one-offs. And when it comes to presidential elections, it's not to say that there might not have been wrongdoing. And by the way, you can look at that at local elections as well. Like there's an election in Iowa that's only six votes are separating who will take the House seat. The Republican has the six-vote lead after three different recounts have been done. So that's the way you look at it in states that may not be determinative at a presidential level, but you still care about the House races, the Senate races, local races as well, and fraud there. And oftentimes, if you look closely in the news, that is happening. It just doesn't make it to national news.
All right, folks, that's going to do it for the broadcast today. Now, if something warrants over the weekend, we will come in and on Facebook or YouTube and let you know maybe out of my house or Jordan's house, but we'll let you know if anything happens. We're working on these cases. We're going to be busy this afternoon looking at more cases as they come in, and we will keep you posted. But what a time for you to support the work of the American Center for Law and Justice. We're in a matching challenge campaign. It's early December, so that this is our biggest month of the year, and you know the activity level. I mean, and this broadcast. If you enjoy the broadcast, if you appreciate the work that we're doing around the world, this is a great time to support the ACLJ at aclj.org, where your gift is matched.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.